And just before we look at the Lord Jesus and his death on a cross, well, we're going to think about a once upon a time story. A story that starts with paradise, a beautiful city, a wonderful, perfect kingdom. It was the most beautiful and perfect home for people. It was unlike Tunbridge Wells. The warmth of the sun was met with cool water to drink, deep pools to swim in. Every single person skillfully worked. There were no arguments. There were no broken friendships. There were no struggles, no crying, no pain, no death. And the king of this kingdom, well, he is the most wonderful king. He's wise and strong and powerful. He protected his people. He cared for his people. And he was never cooped up inside his castle out of the way. And no, he would walk around his city with his people, being their friend. Every day was a party in this kingdom. But one day, something very evil happened. The people of the kingdom decided to rebel against the king. They decided that they did not want him to run the kingdom anymore. And so the people were punished. Rebels were thrown far away from his kingdom. They were banned from his kingdom. It was a very sad day. There was no way back to the king. And outside of that perfect kingdom was a place full of rebellion, a place of sickness, of hunger. The party had stopped. Work was hard. Families were broken. There was disease and death. All because the people decided to rebel against the king. Now that is a very sad story. And in fact, it is the Bible's story. It is this world's story. And the good, great news of the Bible is how the king left his kingdom to deal with the rebellion of the people. King Jesus came on a search and rescue mission because he promised to save rebels from perishing outside of his kingdom. He promised to bring sinners back into his forever party, back into paradise. Now, I don't know what your paradise looks like. Maybe it's a luxury trip to the Blue Lagoon in Iceland to see the Northern Lights. Well, that's just £600 a night. Or maybe you're dreaming of paying £27,000 for first-class tickets, flights to New York City. Or perhaps it's a holiday to Moosha Cay in the Bahamas for just £30,000 a night. Paradise in this world costs a lot. But as we now listen to what happened to Jesus on the cross in Luke's gospel, we're going to see just how much it cost God's king to save rebels and to reopen his paradise kingdom. Just before Sue comes up to read for us, let's talk to God in prayer. Awesome Heavenly Father, please help us to listen to your word, the Bible, now. Give us ears to hear, help us to understand, and give us joyful faith in the King, the Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.
Our reading from the Bible is from Luke's Gospel, and we're picking up the true story of Jesus' death at verse 32 of Luke 23, and we're reading to verse 46. The reading should be on the screen. Do follow it. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last.
Thank you, Sue, for reading. Well, do we understand just how significant this moment was? Do we understand how much it cost King Jesus to pay for paradise? Well, that's the first thing we see when we look at Luke's gospel. We see that the king's cross pays for paradise. The Bible goes out of its way to tell us that Jesus, this man, was innocent. He did not deserve to die. And yet he was put on trial. He was lied about. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was stripped. And he was taken out of another city to be crucified. He was rejected like he was guilty. And he was taken with two other men, both criminals, who were led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. See, as promised in the Bible, God's king died surrounded by criminals. And even in all this injustice and all this pain and suffering, well, Jesus prayed for those who were killing him. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Instead of punishing them, Jesus shows us God's love for the lost and his grace. He wants to forgive sinners, rebellious sinners. Because Jesus really is God's suffering king who was dying to save. And yet the people stood watching and the rulers sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." And the soldiers came up and they mocked Jesus. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourself." So many people there were just mocking, laughing at Jesus, rejecting him. They were laughing about a king who couldn't save himself. Laughing that King Jesus could never save anyone on a cross. If he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. And even the sign above his head said, "This is the King of the Jews." Utterly rejected, and yet it's all true. Jesus really is who he claimed to be. Jesus is the King, and by staying on a cross, that is how he is going to save. It is exactly because Jesus stayed on a cross that he could save rebellious people, and that he proves that he really is the Bible's king, and that he is dying to take their punishment for their rebellious rejection. See, Jesus didn't deserve to suffer or to die, but we did. And God's good news is that anyone who was lost can turn back to King Jesus and receive his forgiveness. Rejection of Jesus doesn't have to stay a permanent thing. I mean, just check this out. Verse 39, one of the criminals who hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself." The other criminal on another cross turns and looks at Jesus and says, "Aren't you a king? Save yourself. You're a useless king. Jesus, you're a joke." See, just like all the others standing at the cross, this criminal did not think that Jesus could be king. He had failed to understand God's amazing promised rescue plan, that Jesus had to stay on the cross to save people. Now, in the other accounts, we're told that both criminals on the other crosses were laughing at Jesus. But we've just heard that the other criminal on the other side had a change of heart. How he went from taunt to trust. He went from sarcasm to salvation, from faithless to faithful. The other rebuked the other criminal, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are justly serving for what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." See, this punishment is exactly what the two criminals deserved. It is the punishment that all guilty, sinful, rebellious criminals deserve. And Jesus was innocent. And so the other criminal also turned to Jesus. He longed to be included in God's forever paradise kingdom. And so he turned to them, verse 42, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It's wonderfully outrageous. A guilty man, clearly full of rebellion and sin, knows he deserves punishment, judgment, and yet in faith, he turns to the king and asks for forgiveness. The Bible gives us two criminals. So which one would you be? The criminal who rejects and laughs at the king. You don't really have to go very far today to see that rejection of Jesus at work or in school. Well, Jesus isn't God, is he? He's a swear word. Or he's a mythical character. Or at home, where Jesus isn't king of our lives. Well, do you see how far away from God's kingdom we are if we continue to reject Jesus as king? And it's dangerous to be lost. You're in danger of being lost forever. It is perilous, and you face punishment for your rebellion. And the good news is that rejection doesn't have to stay that way. Look at just how the other criminal turned to Jesus, and how God's rescue is on offer to all who recognize that they are rebellious criminals. Whether it's this criminal or it's my own sinful rebellion, I need to put my guilt on the cross. It is an open invitation to anyone who comes up to Jesus with their guilt in faith. All guilty and all been found by God's King, by Jesus, so that the believer may have the cheek to turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, remember us when we come into your kingdom. See, that guilty criminal looking for forgiveness gets way more than he could ever hope for. Because listen again to King Jesus' stunning reply. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Truly, listen up, know this for certain, with absolute assurance and confidence. Today, criminal, you will be with me in my kingdom, in paradise. See, only Jesus can bring you into paradise. He pays for it himself on the cross. Into God's forever perfect paradise party kingdom. Because he is the one who pays the entrance fee. He pays the price of the guilty criminal by dying on the cross. And the criminal and all who believe are given 100% confidence, certainty, that the cross pays for our sin because of what happened next. The King's cross pays for paradise, and it opens up God's kingdom. Listen again to verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. See, darkness during the day was a sign of God's judgment. And as Jesus hung on the cross, the punishment for guilty, sinful, rebellious criminals was placed on Jesus, the innocent King. Now, we all face future judgment from the King. We will all stand before his throne as rebellious criminals, guilty and deserving of judgment. And God's good news, his wonderful news, is that King Jesus has taken that punishment upon himself. And his invitation to come into his kingdom is on offer to all who turn to him in faith and ask for his forgiveness. And we can be sure that his kingdom is open, because the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Judgment and grace go hand in hand. Jesus claimed to be the Son of Man, God's everlasting, forever King, who could enter into God's own throne room, his own presence. And here, that's exactly what happens. Jesus goes through the no entry sign of the curtain that blocked off sinful, rebellious criminals. And he has opened up his kingdom. See, King Jesus stayed in his kingdom when he passed through, because his rescue mission was complete. And knowing that rescue mission was complete, Jesus died with confidence because the job was done. Death for Jesus was simply falling asleep before he rose again on Sunday. And so the King breathed his last. The cross had worked. judgment had been dealt with. Search and rescue mission complete. So that rebellious criminals like us, rebellious criminals who come to King Jesus and ask for his forgiveness, have been given entrance into God's forever paradise kingdom, into his party. And so now, all because he paid the price, now, as we wait for Jesus to return, knowing that he will let in all his followers into his party, well, when I feel guilty of my sin, for saying things that are unkind, for thinking things that I know are wrong, for doing things that I know that I shouldn't do, we look back to the cross with confident faith, knowing that it worked. You will be with me in paradise. When we don't feel good about our relationship with God, when we ignore Jesus, living my life like he isn't the king, we look back to the cross, and with certainty we trust his promise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Being a follower of Jesus really is that simple. Every day, keep looking back to the cross. And with confidence, look forward. With confidence, look forward to being in the best party ever. God's forever paradise party kingdom. All because Jesus is the innocent king who came to save a rebellious people and bring those people into his forever kingdom. Let's pray. Awesome Heavenly Father, we praise you for your love that sent your son to the cross so that innocent criminals, guilty criminals may come to you in faith, so that rebels may become sons and daughters of the king. Thank you so much for your good news, your search and rescue mission. And thank you that we can have absolute confidence that we are in your kingdom, all because of what Jesus has done to save us. And we thank you in King Jesus' name. Amen.